Spontane.
David. Football. Football David.
The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave. Dave Dameshek, what's going down? I hope all's well wherever you are. Welcome to Studio 66. We're ready to roll here, and by we, I am talking about the royal we of the NFL because the season is just about here, or at least training camp is just
finally
about here. Maybe by the time you're listening, there are some sizable human beings in their pads sweating it up. Maybe they're boiling the sweat up from their shoes like we saw in Hard Knocks last year. Remember Vince Wilfork? Yes, like Vince Wilfork's shoes sweated were sweating so badly that you could see the moisture rising up from the top of the shoes. It almost made me throw up. Let's not talk about that, though. Let's talk about what's exciting about the game of pro football. And by the way, as always, we appreciate you downloading, subscribing, commenting, all that jazz on iTunes, Stitcher, or however you choose to consume the DDFP. Also, you can go to NFL.com/DDFP, see all our video stuff. We appreciate the well over a million people, at least, at minimum, who took in the Eternal Red Zone, the Marshawn Lynch edition. You can still track that down on Facebook at NFL.com/Sheck, or DDFP, I should say. And beyond, we got another good one coming for you. It's the 2017 Hall of Fame class. That's Kurt Warner, Terrell Davis. Who else? LaDainian Tomlinson. Ooh, we'll have some good sound. We're going to catch up with LT and TD in front of their inductions coming up here in just a few days and go over their favorite plays in their respective careers. In the meantime, let's say hello to everybody seated to my immediate left, two of my favorites here. First of all the way from Michigan, here she is, everybody. It's Cindy Freeland.
Daughter here to steal the show. Back in the day she had a mullet with a funky flow, running marathons for her fitness goals. On the DDFP she got the stat control, cause when it comes to the numbers she's
all right, let's fade it down. That's enough. We get the hint. We got things to do, Cindy Freeland, you know? We got places to go, people to meet. Also, and how are you, Cindy?
I guess I'm okay.
Why, that hurt your feelings?
I mean, I realized that, like, I got the, like, you know, businesswoman look going on today, so maybe you just aren't feeling it, but, you know.
Shout out to Mary Ann Freeland, Cindy's mama. No offense to the family, intended, anything like that. We just, listen, you know what? Football season is nigh. Dameshek, all business today. Okay. Seated to Cindy's immediate left there. Another of our favorites, like I say, from the state of Alabama, the home
Woo-hoo!
Of Jeffrey Beauregard Sessions, I believe, among some others. Bear Bryant, is he from the state of Bama?
No.
He's not, eh?
No.
All right, well, I got one right. Charles Barkley?
Yeah, Charles Barkley is there.
And this guy, Patrick Claibon.
He's that guy who hosts the show up to the minute. Every dream he has at night has Jack Bauer in it.
If he takes, then he'll give his. The arm takes men, yeah, strikes again. Star Wars movies, get him.
That's
lit.
Enough. That's enough, too. Fair's fair. We're not going to play all a Claibon song. We're not going to play Freeland's. Claibon, yes, I have noticed. Yes, I anointed you and Chris Wessling the om takes man. You don't just give takes. You wait to see everybody else's takes. Then you evaluate the quality of those takes.
It is a weapon in my arsenal.
Yes, but I've also seen you've rebranded that for the fancy Around the NFL podcast. Now you call yourself Garbage Takesman.
Well, here's what happens, Dave. I go on other people's shows, right, and they give me names, and I don't argue because they're not my show.
I see.
Right here, I'm the Takesman.
I got okay.
I'm
okay.
What Dave called.
Any hot takes you want to deliver or evaluate out there in the world, they don't even have to be sportsy. The world, our nation seems to be in some state of tumult, as you may have
Yeah, I guess that's a very lukewarm take.
I
would like for people to have to be able to keep their families safe and happy. And
hey,
healthy.
Everything's going
so, yeah,
great.
That's a hot take in 2017.
Everything's going super duper great. Let's talk about pro football now. And what do you guys want to start with here? I have three items that I'd like to address here with the season here. As I say all the time, everybody right now, yeah, all the teams, all 32 teams have a probably, unless you're the Jets,
A perfect record?
No, you probably have a – yeah, they probably already have two losses. No, I think every team in their own way has some sense of optimism right now and where they're headed this year. Like I say, I don't think the Jets aspire even to the playoffs. I don't think the Browns probably think a playoff spot is realistic.
They would like to, though. It's a goal.
Right, and they're feeling pretty good, and they're feeling excited about some of the pieces that they've acquired since last season finished up here. Now it's time, though, and as we draw closer and we see what injuries inevitably go down in August and whatever contract situations are up in the air as we speak here and how those resolve themselves or don't, we will put in pen our final predictions, the seedings, who will make the playoffs in the AFC and the NFC, the seedings for them, final records for all 32 teams. We'll have all that information for you as the season draws ever closer. In the meantime, I think we have to start from the bottom and work our way up. It's time for the 2017 edition of Davey Downer giving you the 10 teams that absolutely, positively will not make the postseason this season with the help of Cindy Freeland and Patrick Claibon. You guys ready to get going here?
Let's do it.
Ready.
So we want to name 10. Oh, we're starting out already. Yeah. So here we go.
Davey
10, 10 teams that are not going to make the postseason. Today, should we just focus on AFC? Let's do that. Let's spread.
So everyone who's not going to make it.
Yeah, let's spread out the pessimism over two shows. Let's not just do it all. Today, let's focus on the AFC. I say this. I don't know what the stakes are here. Maybe it's like, so if we're naming 10, for everyone you get wrong, let's say, you lose a finger. Is that fair? So if you say the Bills and the Bills make it to January, you lose a finger. If you're a method predictor, at least feel it.
On bottles of rosé. So if we lose one, then we have to buy you a bottle of rosé.
Okay. Okay.
Because we know like he loves rosé all day.
Yeah.
It's not as good as a finger. Not as rugged as
having a finger chopped off.
Instead, I get a bottle of rosé.
Rosé prices are elevating.
That's right.
As the hipsters latch on, I feel
avocado like toast and rosé.
This is very much what it was like.
Especially my band name.
When I was in on Modest Mouse on Lonesome Crowded West, and this is a long drive for someone with nothing to think about. I was in on Modest Mouse when those records were around. Then they have that hit, whatever. What was it like? Dream. What was it called? The Float On. A couple years ago.
Yeah.
5-8 years ago. It was a so-so number, and all the hipsters jumped on them there. That's how I feel now. I feel like everybody's jumping in on my rosé. It's my rosé. It's Emma VP's rosé. It's Eddie Spaghetti's rosé. Everybody else is a Johnny Come Lately.
Why can't they just enjoy the rosé as well?
They can. But as I say, as it expands in popularity, I feel a little bit, like, hey, just for what it's worth.
You could get a T-shirt.
Damashek was there first. I was an OG.
I liked rosé before you did. Just
rosé OG.
I was a rosé OG. Yeah, very good, very good. All right, so let's get into it here. So we can let's start with that. The other couple of questions I have for the two of you today, and we'll see how much time we have for them, is why the another downer kind of thing if you're a fan of or if you're from the New England region of these United States or root for the Patriots, why the Patriots will not win the Super Bowl. People are already talking about undefeated season. All the additions since the Super Bowl rally and all that, it seems, I don't want to say inevitable, but it does seem like they are the heavy, heavy, heavy favorite in spite of some decent competition in the AFC. You're shaking your head already?
Absolutely. There's no reason to think they're not the favorite.
I know. That's why I want
to. I don't think, listen, undefeated is a ridiculous thing to say just overall. But apart from that, like,
why is it ridiculous? I want to say this here and now.
Really?
If the 2017 Patriots don't go undefeated, they're already a disappointment. How
Correct.
About that?
There you go.
Hot take, nothing. I'm getting inside Brady and Belichick and the rest of them heads. You see? I'm talking to
– it's like reverse psychology.
You're already a disappointment. Go win another Super Bowl. So what? You should have gone undefeated.
There's plenty of reasons for them to be the favorite. I still think we should play the 2017 NFL season, though.
You want to go through with it?
Yeah, I think it's going to be the best for all parties involved if we play the game.
I think Kamish Goodell happens to agree with you.
Yeah.
And the networks that are paying money for the
– Although –
And people are going to accuse me of brown-nosing.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to say. You're just brown-nosing.
Hey, yep. I'm trying to keep my job.
Well, I do want to come up with a list of reasons that people should try to feel good about the season and not assume that the Patriots are a foregone.
And you're going to achieve that by saying who's not going to make the playoffs. Got it.
Well, so all right, before we get to all that, do you want to have the Patriots discussion now, or do you want to do their
We started 10? In one place and now we're in another.
Because I'm a nice host. I'm offering to you, which do you want it to? It's guest's choice. Put your heads together, decide which one do you want to go into first.
Would you like to dump on the Patriots first?
I mean, I think we can go through Patriots and then because they're in the group of people who are going to make the playoffs.
So. Here they are, the reasons that the New England Patriots will not win the Super Bowl in 2017, or I guess February of 2018. Let's start off with you, Claybon. Give me a reason. Why aren't
the
Patriots going to win?
The number one reason the Patriots will not win the Super Bowl is because it's really hard to win the Super Bowl.
Well, it hasn't been that hard for them to win it.
The last time the Patriots won the Super Bowl, they came back. They had to come back from 25 points down, and a confluence of circumstances needed to take place for them to win the Super Bowl. And despite that, there's still this idea that it's a foregone conclusion somehow that the Patriots are automatically going to win the Super Bowl after their quarterback turns 40. The backup, who's thrown 42 passes in actual game time, is somehow Joe Montana standing on Dante Culpepper's shoulders. We don't have to assign the Patriots a Super Bowl championship right now.
I get
July,
it. I get it.
2017.
I will put the asterisk next to your previous statement. Jimmy G, I think, would at minimum still win that division or come close to it if he had to take over, if Tom Brady didn't make it through August healthy and Garoppolo had to take over. I think the Patriots would still be in the postseason at minimum. I would say that. I'll throw one out. You mentioned Tom Brady being 40. There is no historical evidence that a 40-year-old guy can get his team to the Super Bowl and win it. I know that there aren't very many QBs that have gone that deep. Warren Moon played well into his 40s. George Blanda played well, but there are precious few examples of a guy running the table through January getting to the Super Bowl. In fact, there are exactly zero examples of that. And when it goes for a guy, you can say, well, you saw him in early February of 2017. He looked awfully good. When it goes for football players, it goes fast. It does not a gentle decline into mediocrity. It just one day they're great, the next day they are not.
Fall off a cliff.
But Jimmy Garoppolo could go in there and still do well. So that kind of mitigates what I said.
Because he's an actual Kryptonian. He is the greatest quarterback we've ever seen throw 42 passes.
He might be more handsome than Superman is. Cindy Freeland, lay it on us. Another reason the Patriots will not win the Super Bowl this year.
Oh, I hate to put it on one person, two people really, but some interesting notes here. I mean, look, Stephon Gilmore, he has a lot to live up to. There's a lot. That's a big contract. It's interesting coming from Buffalo. I mean, he's very, very good, but, you know, I'm trying to come up with something.
Do you suppose there might be some strife?
Cynthia really feels passionately about the Patriots not winning the Super Bowl.
No, listen, it's not about the Super Bowl because there's in our sport, unlike some of the other sports where there's hundreds of games, like at least 160 some odd games, right? You're going to have erratic things happen. I mean, had they not made that incredible comeback in the Super Bowl, we would have had a different outcome. But the point is the chances of them winning their division are very strong. It'd be very hard to upset Goliath in this case. But it's entirely possible that once you get into the playoffs, there's going to be a fluky game and something happen. Like, I mean, when I look at the places where the word isn't holes, but they have some places where they're not as strong as others. I mean, Joe Tooney, he was not a shining star on their offense, and he played like, you know, 1,100 snaps. I mean, a left guard, that's a decently important position, especially because when you look at the year prior, the Patriots didn't make it to the Super Bowl in the Denver Broncos year because they had all those different combinations of their O-line, and they couldn't kind of get it together, and there was different pressure on Brady. It was just not they weren't able to execute their game plan. So for me, there are like areas. I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that they'll win the Super Bowl. I do think it's a very – it'd be hard to root or
– Is there something to be said for, to go back to where you were a couple of minutes ago, is there something for the infusion of even more talent being disruptive? We've seen that with the Dream Team Philadelphia Eagles of 5 years ago. There are some examples of that. I'm looking for a reason. Is there that the contract will upset Malcolm Butler? Why am I not making that kind of bank? Is there any reason to think that might happen?
None of those imaginary reasons are the ultimate reasoning would be there's other teams that are also trying to win the Super Bowl,
right.
And they also feature
right.
professional football players. The idea that Malcolm Butler is going to be in his feelings because he rightfully feels like he should be paid like he deserves. I don't understand.
It seems to disrupt some locker rooms.
When you have what Alan Branch is on the PUP, Dont'a Hightower right now on the PUP, like these are people who, I mean, injuries on their defense is something that to keep track of, and especially, you know, you did give Stephon Gilmore that, but like a cornerback in that situation, if your D tackle and you're, you know, and a linebacker are missing, it can make it a lot of pressure. But like, well, we pay this guy. Got to perform. But, you know, there are some other things here, like the run game, things like that. Like, if you have these people injured, you know, half of a Alan Branch or half of a Dont'a Hightower isn't the same as.
But they are. It does, one of the vexing things if you root for one of the other 31 teams in the NFL is that they seem to be the only team that's injury proof as well. They lose Gronk. Well, that's it. I declared among many others that's got to be it. If you take away Gronk from Brady, given the other pass catching options out there, I thought that's really going to hinder them come January against high end defenses. Then they go and win the Super Bowl again.
But they didn't just go and win the Super Bowl. There's a reason that's a historical comeback. They didn't just like, it wasn't like they rolled in there and then it was 24-0 at halftime and they won, you know, 48-0 by the end of the, like, it, you know, there, that was a game that we're not just, I mean,
I hear you.
And the Falcons could have very easily won that game.
There's plenty of universes where we're having this discussion about the Falcons being the pro.
Right.
To win the Super
right.
Bowl.
True. Here's one I'll
Most
throw out
them,
at you.
Fact.
The Falcons as the inspiration, the 2016 rise of Matt Ryan, the MVP, a lot of promise over the years, some great seasons by Matt Ryan and
great
so on.
Great college. Keep going.
That's right, Boston College. That's right. How about, what about, here? Let's stay a little closer to the neighborhood for Tom Brady and company. Here, maybe I'm getting a little wild with this. Could the Miami Dolphins win the division this year? I think the Dolphins. Here, I've said it a million times. I'll say it for the million and first now. The greatest thing that the football gods ever handed Tom Brady, and for that matter, his pal Peyton Manning, were easy divisions throughout virtually through the entirety of their respective careers. What if the Dolphins and the Bills are actually halfway decent? Then it's not a foregone conclusion that they get one of the top two seeds. Then if they have to go 3 weeks and they have to go on the road some in tough environments in January, it feels a little less guaranteed. And like I say, I don't think the division, as good as this team should be, the Patriots, given the additions they made, I think the Dolphins are legit. I don't think that this is one of those 21st century occurrences that we've seen in pro football, which is a team spike up and then just drop back off and the mirage is over within a season. I think Gase and company are building something down there. How say you, Freeland?
I definitely agree with you that they're building something. I'm not sure. Look, I think if you had to say who's under the microscope here, I would say Ryan Tannehill is pretty much under the microscope. They have an ability to get out of his contract next season for very minimal cap hits. So he's kind of playing for his right to be there, you know, like his. And I think if you look at how Gase was able to create a scheme that made Jay Cutler work back in Chicago, and he was offensive coordinator there, and kind of the Ryan Tannehill had the best statistical one of the best statistical seasons of his career, depending on which stats you're looking at, last season. They've got some questions on third down, which is a big down, pretty important one, but we'll have to see if what we've seen there will translate into being able to beat the Patriots and get themselves. The problem is that, you know, you not only do they have a tough division, they have a pretty tough schedule as well. They're not sitting there in the same position as some of, like, the Titans have an easier schedule than the Dolphins. There are just certain, you know, the way that our game's constructed, the Dolphins have a pretty hard schedule. So while I don't think you're going to see them totally drop off, it's going to be a little harder to make the playoffs given who they're playing this season.
I hear you. The counter to that is I think that offensive line is 1 year further
yes.
along, and I think it's going to be a position of
yeah,
real
because,
strength.
Right.
The one thing we've seen, one of the things, the way to get to the Patriots or any other team, is to grind them and to keep Tom Brady's snaps as low as possible. And Jay Ajayi certainly building on last year with a stronger offensive line.
Right.
That seems to me to be an opportunity.
If they can solve third down, then if they can solve third down, that's really going to be it.
But you highlight that Dolphins offensive line, and one thing that jumps out is they're able to get Laremy Tunsil there at a value because of his draft situation.
Right.
But then you look at the Patriots and the roster that they're able to assemble, it's like they get everybody at the value. And so to Cynthia's point earlier, they've they filled it with so much talent, you wonder, well, when does the dam finally break? But this Dolphins team, if you go historically compared to the rest of the league, they give the Patriots more trouble.
They do, and people like to cite that one. And the Bills also, I feel like, if it weren't for the regime change and the weird lack of affection for Tyrod Taylor, I would be really excited about the Bills right now. But it seems murky because they don't like Tyrod Taylor. I don't get exactly why.
He has a two-year deal, so he's got a two-year audition for Sean McDermott. That's a big deal when you look at it. When you look at – it's unclear how healthy, like, Zay Jones and some of the – and how healthy he has been because I think he had an injury during the previous training camps. And so we'll have to keep an eye on what goes down there. Obviously, LeSean McCoy is this gigantic – he doesn't get talked about enough, don't think, for how helpful he is. Like, Tyrod Taylor –
a lot of people declared him done a couple of years ago.
They were wrong.
Yeah, people tend to do that. People do that with
they were wrong.
Really
right.
Easily.
Right. So, I mean, the value he brings there, it can't be understated. So it's really going to see, all right, can Tyrod Taylor keep it in the pocket and keep it a little bit more under control? Because when he gets outside the pocket, then it becomes a little bit different game. And we've seen that that's not necessarily sustainable. It's great for your fantasy team, but it's not amazing for your wins overall. We're going to have to see how this defense is now. Like, they've lost some key pieces on defense, too. We're going to see how some of the things that they've added, if they amount to much. It's hard with the Bills because last year you had Rex Ryan, who everybody's like super interested in, and there's something about him that just people care a lot about, and their coach is not quite as, you know, some we think he's more boring than we thought Rex Ryan was, right? So we don't talk about it as much. So you don't hear as many of the quotes on him. You don't, national media wise, you don't hear the little tiny snippets and the things that we would have heard from Rex Ryan. So it's harder to imagine where they're
going. But what we do know is that Rex, and even worse, Rob, are all about mystique with their behavior versus actual production.
Right.
And Rob was a failure, has been a failure at pretty much every stop as a defensive coordinator. I like
the pieces.
But
he's got great hair.
What I did say last year is I predicted before the season, Rex won't make it through 2017, but whoever takes over is going to benefit from their top two draft picks.
Yeah.
Bottom.
Oh, absolutely.
That defense is going to be good. The defense is going to be very good.
Look, Shaq Lawson. I'm super excited to see what he does. He was hurt. He had, and we didn't get to see who Shaq Lawson really is, was, can be.
Remember, he
Shaq
would have been Lawson, a top three pick in all likelihood.
Reggie Ragland, he's great too.
That's
they
what I'm
great
saying.
Great picks, yeah.
But right, it's exactly right. I think Lawson was a top three, four pick last year had the injury concerns not risen up just before the draft. And he still goes, what did he end up going? 10, 12, something like that.
Yeah, somewhere in that range.
And also, I want to point out Micah Hyde, who came over from Green Bay, their safety. Mm-hmm. That's a great addition for them. I mean, look, it's not, you're not going to replace what you lost to New England. And Tre'Davious White, who they drafted, let's not be crazy. He's not Stephon Gilmore. But we don't know what we've got here. It could be, you know, this could be a better overall value as opposed to this one player who would have cost them too much. So I think their defense could be very interesting to watch.
A good 2017 for the Bills training staff. Public relations and everything, where we find out if a guy's having surgery, if he's not having surgery. If they can make it through 2017 without any of those snafus where somebody just randomly is fine, but then they have to have season-ending surgery a few weeks later. If we can avoid that, I can feel better about the Bills.
If we can avoid that, yeah.
You know what I should do also? I'd like to go through over Tom Brady's career, the years that they've gone to the Super Bowl. Are they the prohibitive favorite in each of those instances? I feel like I'm trying to think off the top of my head. Did they ever need to even win three games to get to one of those Super Bowls and win it? They had the bye in their first Super Bowl. Against when they win the Super Bowl against the Panthers?
Yeah. I'm trying to think. Was it
I'm just trying to make a point that I think that the Raiders are going to be good again this year. But, I do think there's a chance for regression there. I think the Steelers should be a real, real threat to the Patriots this year. I like the Chargers. And I'm trying to think of the South is interesting at minimum. I don't know if there's anybody out of there that I would say. Although – I know this is a funny one. The Letterman's jacket guys from Houston. And I don't know if Deshaun Watson is in his rookie season ready to roll in there and knock off Brady and company. But that defense, talk about
Wait, did you have a Letterman jacket in high school, either of you?
No.
No.
Oh, darn. I was hoping we could do an entire podcast where you two would be wearing
That'd
them.
Be cool. Claybon, yeah. Claybon
they made
used
you
to
want
be
to pay
able,
for those.
Claybon yeah. used to be able to reverse dunk, though, right?
Well, yeah, that was
with a
galaxy far, far away.
Could you catch an alley-oop and dunk it?
Yeah.
Wow. How many guys have been in Studio 66 and claimed?
Several.
Actually, well, I can claim that.
Most of the ones who play football probably could. But,
you think so?
Yeah. Like, if not in a game situation.
You think
but
Maurice Jones-Drew could do that?
With a trampoline?
Why you do that? What, you think Ike Taylor could do
yes.
it?
Yes.
You think Ike Taylor could alley-oop dunk? I do not think
Ike that. Might be able to get there right now.
Listen, okay. I think Ike would be one of those people where if you challenged him to it, he would, like, not sleep until he got it done.
Not on this extraordinarily dangerous basketball goal we have out here, by
yeah,
the way.
No,
I don't
that.
Want anybody
to. Oh, the no. basketball goal that a while back I took him out to for a free throw shooting contest and shamed him? A professional athlete, you understand. A professional athlete. Damashek dominated him in the
Chris
free
Harris
throw
Jr. can do it, for sure.
I'm moving on. All right, so we talk AFC East threats. So we've given a few. Anything else anybody wants to float out there as a reason why the Patriots aren't going to win the Super Bowl? I say, not just within the division, the Pittsburgh Steelers, who after banging their head against that wall against the Patriots three times in AFC title games here in the 21st century and beyond, that's always the obstacle. That's always the
So there's no one coming out of the West that you think's even – I mean, like
– I said Raiders.
Oh, okay.
And I said Chargers.
Okay, 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 okay.
Yeah.
But you kind of were like, they're good, but they're – what about the Broncos? You don't like the Broncos at all?
I don't think the Broncos are a playoff
Really?
Team.
Yeah.
Really? Disagree.
Real well, really Disagree. To you is what I say. All right, let's get into it then. Let's.
You're a Trev believer? I'm a Trev guy.
It's not necessarily. Listen, another alma mater quarterback. Just like to point that out. Different alma mater though.
Well, like I've said before, Paxton Lynch better get that gig or he's officially a bust.
Oh,
sorry to play that. I don't care.
That's a lot. That's a lot on Paxton Lynch.
Hot take me all you want. Throw hot take charges at me all you want.
I think he's under the microscope.
He was the first round draft pick.
Okay.
You don't get to just sit there. You don't get to not play in the 21st century and not be a bust. You can't beat out Trevor Siemian.
Hey, now.
Don't.
Let's see what their new O-line does. They did make some – I mean, you got to give that O-line – you got to give them a little credit for addressing one of the biggest issues, which was their O-line.
Maybe you're right. Maybe I'm prematurely
– Okay, sleep on them. Trev.
Don't sleep on them.
Let's do it then. Good. Let's transition from why the Patriots won't win the Super Bowl and talk about the teams that won't even make the playoffs. It's time for Davey Downer and friends, the 10 teams that will not make it to the postseason this year. At the expense of one of your digits, you lose a finger.
Nope, we buy you rosé. Got it.
Okay. Either way. Well, I'm playing too. So do I have to buy? Who am I buying rosé for?
I think you buy it for the group, and then we all
drink
enjoy it.
So our
or you can
no, or
the
you,
finger.
Yeah, since you're such a big fan of the finger thing, you lose
this
finger.
One first.
Well, then if that's the case, then I'm rooting to be wrong.
So. And it's a random finger, so you don't know which one.
Chop.
You have to close your eyes.
I think we stick with the finger game. Those now that's stakes. That's a penalty. You're wrong?
There's,
all right.
Here's an audio drop.
Yeah, that's right. Lose a finger. That's it. All
Got
right,
it.
Here we
okay.
go.
Got
Let's
it.
Get into it. Okay. Let's go through the candidates, and we're going to stick to just the AFC today.
Okay.
We will get to 10 in when we combine the two conferences. I'm going to start. Should I? Do you want me to start? Do you want me to kick a
No, because you're going to go with the one that's like the lowest hanging fruit. Lowest
the one that's
denominator.
Not going to go to the playoffs. Here's the first one. I absolutely
oh!
guarantee it. I'm sorry, you're not going to the
Louise.
Postseason. New York Jets.
I mean, there were two people that you could have taken there.
Wait, play that one more time for me there. No playoffs for you.
You have a beautiful voice.
Thank you. The Gorgeous. Jets are not going to go to the playoffs. I don't even think we need to spend any time
think,
on this one.
I think
they don't
like,
want to go to the
yeah,
playoffs.
They aren't trying.
I think they're literally spending all their time evaluating which of these potential quarterbacks, and this could be a fun draft class next season. They're like, they have season tickets to UCLA. They have season tickets to USC. They're going up to Wyoming. Like, they had a lot of places they got to
yeah,
go.
Yeah, but quarterback. But why are they not just announcing, sorry, Josh McCown, you have no chance of play. Why would they
because
even put
have
him
you
in
seen his face? He's got like a perfect quarterback face.
That's fine. No, Carson Palmer, I've said, has the gold standard of quarterback faces. But why would they not say, hey, Petty, Hackenberg, get ready because we're going back and forth between you two guys all season to see which one, if either of you, is worth anything. Why would they? Why you clearly are you're willfully saying we're not trying to go to the playoffs. So why would you put a vet in there instead of seeing one of these two?
Because of the important caveat. When we talk about how they're not trying, we're not talking about the coaching staff or the players or the training staff or the parking lot attendants.
That's the rub. Right. You're right.
Those guys are all trying. They would like to keep jobs and maintain employment in the NFL.
We're joking.
It's the front office that doesn't.
How far are you getting with Quincy Enunwa as your top receiver, though?
I mean,
he's fine.
So here's the other thing that I think is at least worth noting on this one. Look at how hard this backup quarterback market has become. Look at some of the people who are getting tryouts and getting, you know, right now, right this minute. Can you even name some of the backup quarterbacks? That's a pretty important backup job. It's also an awesome job if you have it, right? But like, it's a pretty important job. So if they're figuring out like kind of what's the dynamic of their team going forward, and they're thinking maybe we're going to take a chance on one of these top name quarterbacks coming out to be the quarterback of our Jets future, maybe what they're doing is figuring out how they're going to kind of like tier out the rest of it. Because that, I'm telling you, that backup quarterback market right now, just look at some of these people. I've never even heard of some of these people. Okay, that's not true.
I've heard of one guy named Colin Kaepernick, as far as I've heard, still.
I don't want to talk about that.
Roster.
But my point is like, if RG3 is going here and to the Chargers to go for a workout, and some of these people, I literally, like Dan Orlovsky, I mean, come on, I'm a Lions fan. I have to be like, oh my goodness gracious. Like, to the Rams, like these are things that this backup market is not a joke. Like, you need that guy to come in and be able to win like 1-2 games. You know who knows that really well? Steelers fans.
I believe
you got a good backup. So it's kind of an interesting thing to note here, because
a lot of people are saying
chance.
Josh Dobbs is going to beat out Landry Jones in a SEC battle.
You know what? Great.
Backup seven.
Great.
Yeah.
Like, great. That's awesome.
All right. So the Jets are, and by the way, let's go around the table, because the Jets.
Oh, I got the next one.
No. The Jets are my team.
Right.
Are they on your list as well?
Yes.
Top 10 team? Claybon?
Yes.
Give me that again.
No playoffs for you.
Freeland, you're next.
The Browns.
The Cleveland Browns are not going to go to the playoffs.
Sorry.
No playoffs for you.
I agree. I do think that they I don't know what to expect record-wise out of this team, and I would not my jaw would not hit the floor if they somehow found their way past the Cincinnati Bengals in the division standings.
I do not want look, if you're playing in a division with the Ravens and the Steelers in this year and that's where you are, I'm just sorry, that's not going to happen.
Fair.
I mean, to me, some of the things that's interesting here is to, like, Hugh Jackson was brought in to kind of solve this quarterback conundrum. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens there. Greg Williams came over on the defense. I think their defense is going to be much improved this year. I think, honestly, a realistic estimate for wins is somewhere in the 4-6 range, which is not is not a terrible range to be in, but it's probably not going to win you your division.
No, I agree with that. It would be sad if it did. I think the Steelers and Ravens fans would be sad.
Like, I know, I was
I would
trying
like
to be nice.
That would be a fun season.
5-11 and 6-10 won it. What's your best guess on Kessler versus Kaiser? I think, by the way, actually, before you answer that, the quarterback whisperer thing, guys get in the NFL, coaches get a lot of credit for having success in one situation, one season, and they can ride that for a decade. The best example of that is probably Mike Martz, but there are plenty of guys that are considered to be QB whisperers and great offense. Oh, so because they had one magical year with great high-end talent surrounding them.
Right.
Hugh Jackson and Daniel Jeremiah of Move the Sticks, of course, agrees with me on this. Where did this mythology about Hugh Jackson come from, that he's definitely the savior to,
let me be clear on what I
the
said.
Bum franchise that is Cleveland?
Let me be clear on what I said. He was hired to
I know.
Help solve this.
I'm just pointing that out.
I did not say
I'm
that,
not
like,
accusing you. Right, I'm just saying that's it. So
I think every time you've worked with a great quarterback, you kind of get the run from that, right? Like, even Adam Gase, who we were talking about, people will always come back to, he
was. Yeah, but Chan Gailey has been successful in multiple stops. I think that's the standard. Like, he's done it in multiple places.
Ryan Fitzpatrick being the gold standard on
well,
that.
I mean,
he's kidding. The gold standard for
just
that.
Kidding.
Just a pro got style, a lot out of that guy, didn't he?
A pro-style quarterback that's a leader in the locker room. That's why you got to have him in your backup spot.
Go ahead.
Well, last year, I love terms. You know that, Dave. Mm-hmm. And quarterback whisperer kind of jumped out.
I'm going to start being quarterback. This is how you do it. Tom Brady. Peyton Manning. I'm a quarterback whisperer.
Literal quarterback whisperer. But I the term is so prevalent, I decided it'd be easier to make a list of the guys who aren't quarterback whisperers.
Ah, Art. Yeah.
And so last year the list was Lewis, Rivera, Quinn, Zimmer, Fox, Carroll, Del Rio, Bowles, Ryan, Bradley, Pagano, Tomlin.
Not quarterback.
Those are the only not quarterback whisperers.
Can I tell you?
Not a quarterback whisperer.
Oh, yeah, Caldwell.
You know who else is a quarterback whisperer? Dave Damish.
Me too. Right.
I'm
a quarterback whisperer.
I am, because let me tell you something. Yeah, but we
are a quarterback whispering podcast.
You like to do it. You like to say you are. I am one.
Whispered them.
When these guys come out of the draft, Damashek's success rate is very high. I said Derek Carr was the best pick out of that draft. Mm-hmm. He is the best pick out of that draft at this point.
Who'd you say between Winston and Mariota?
Winston.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, both of them would have been a
good at this point, I don't think either one is.
Aesthetics plays heavily in Dave's evaluation.
That's right. Aesthetics do play heavily. But yes, that's right. I know it's laughable to some
Winston's
people. You think
Winston's better looking than Mariota?
You know, no, I don't mean are they handsomer.
Oh, okay.
I mean the way.
The quarterback look.
The stature.
Got it.
That's exactly
right. Got it.
That is precisely right. Does that guy cut the figure of an NFL QB?
Cut
does he move around like a quarterback?
Got
Does he have that rugged stature? Does he have the big arm?
Where did you net out on Michael Vick?
These are my
evaluations. Who, by the way, is an intern today at the Chiefs, with the Chiefs.
Is that true?
Michael Vick, yeah.
I like Michael Vick.
Ryan Bartlett told me that.
But the guy, another good one from way back.
He doesn't look like a quarterback, though.
2004, and this predates where any of those QBs fell, out of the trio of Eli, Rivers, Roethlisberger, and Roethlisberger was predominantly considered the third best out of that trio. I said, seven's the one you want. I was over the moon when the Steelers got Ben Roethlisberger just by watching him play ball. Why? Because I'm a QB whisperer.
So Carson Wentz or Dak Prescott or Jared Goff, which one did you go with there?
I said Carson Wentz all day. I said Carson Wentz. I did not involve myself in the Dak Prescott
thing. No one did.
But
I actually made a comparison between him and Tim Tebow on ESPN.
Don't you need to whisper to the quarterback?
Right.
That's a different thing. I'm not here to coach him up. I'm just here to give him my blessing.
Ah.
I called your imperator.
Throw the ball. Throw the ball.
It's like asking for somebody's daughter's
hand. No one wants to tackle the Patriots, right? Oh, does everybody agree about the Browns? Because they're going on my list,
yes,
too. So all three of us have those.
I'm keeping track here.
No playoffs for you. Patriots, no takers?
Yeah, I'm not going to Patriots.
Stop it.
How about the Dolphins? Anyone want to put the Dolphins on their list?
I got the Dolphins going back, so no, not on my list.
Do you want to put them on there? You want to guarantee they ain't going to the playoffs there?
I'm really with him.
Okay, all right. Well, so no one, everyone.
Fins up.
Everyone at the table is passing on the Dolphins.
That's
all right. Moving on to the AFC North. Oh, well, wait, we did the Jets. I missed
amazing.
It completely. What happened?
Nothing.
I tried to make a dolphin noise.
Did he call you at home?
Do it again. Do a dolphin noise.
It was not good.
It was more like a pony is what that sounded like.
That's good.
So, all right. Good. So, we didn't say Bills. Does anyone want to put them on their list?
I'm going to have to.
You have to put the Bills.
But listen, process of elimination.
So we have to fill out our lists?
You have to have 10 by the end of
the – I don't want to spend the rosé.
We have to have 10.
All right.
People, I mean, it's process of elimination.
I'm not
going
to put the
Bills. You're going three deep in AFC East?
I am not. I'm saying definitely not going to the playoffs.
If you're making me pick 10, that means you're picking everyone who's going to the playoffs is not in your thing, right?
That means
– So if you think
five per side. So you have to – right. So five per conference.
Oh, I thought you said 10 each.
No.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
I'm
sorry.
You did not explain.
I thought
we were picking
there.
Everyone who was like.
All right. I'm
going to
be spending some
Bills.
Money.
So do you want the Bills on?
No, not if I only have to pick five total.
All right.
Goodness.
So now we've covered the AFC East. We've started with the AFC North by declaring that the Browns will not make it. Everybody agreed with that one.
Jets and Browns. Yep.
Let's tackle the next one. The Cincinnati Bengals and their candidacy. Will they definitely not make it to the postseason, Claybon? I start with you.
No. They will definitely not make it to the playoffs.
Okay. So wait, there's a chance they will?
I'm saying there's a chance.
Okay.
Got it.
Cindy Freeland.
I'm outie. Nope.
Nope what?
It. They're not making it.
Whoa! No playoffs for you.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
Why?
Well, they lost some pieces. Mm-hmm. Their guard, Kevin Zeitler, reset the guard market. He Correct. Went to the Browns, in-division rival. That's a decent loss there.
Ross Tucker, our pal, came in here, an offensive line guru, told us that the replacements that they drafted are not looking great there either.
Andrew,
he was not impressed.
Andrew Whitworth,
yeah.
left tackle,
yep.
gone. He's right. a Ram. See ya. You know the importance of being able to throw the ball, especially when you've got A.J. Green and you've got a great wide receiver core. I think that their running back situations is going to be an interesting one to play out because both of the guys, Jeremy Hill and Gio Bernard, they were in a shared backfield, and both of them weren't exactly the most productive of anyone. And they've got Joe Mixon, like, you know, chomping at their heels there to see the field. So their running back situation could get better, but if you don't have an O-line, it's pretty hard. If you don't have a great O-line, it's hard to get that run game going and thus hard to get the passing game going. I think that it's really hard to imagine a scenario where this year with the changes that they've made just on that O-line alone.
Their window, the Bengals, the Marv Lewis era has had some highs, but those highs are pretty low in my book. They've made it to the playoffs. People, enough credit for Marvin Lewis getting a team to the playoffs but never winning a playoff game. 14, that's your QB all this way in? He's never going to get it done. I'm with Freeland. Sorry, Bengals, you're out. No, give it to me again. No playoffs for you.
I'm shocked, Dave. I'm shocked that you would feel this way about the Bengals.
It's nothing to do with my feelings about them. I'm not saying that. Let's move on to the next one, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Are they definitely not going to the playoffs?
They're definitely going to the playoffs.
Definitely. I don't like saying definitely about that. Claybon, you're going to pass on the
100% they are going to the playoffs.
I'm not
going to
say any 100% they're going, but I'm definitely not going to say
never been more certain of anything in my life.
I'm definitely not going to say they're definitely not going to the playoffs. How about the Baltimore Birdies there, Claybon?
They are my team that is definitely not going to the playoffs.
Whoa! No playoffs for you! Oh, that's going to be a finger right there. That might be a thumb.
So here's what I think's interesting. Last year you saw a pretty hurt Jeremy Maclin. He was not 100%. They admittedly, you can go Google it if you want to. There's some stories that came out that they kind of botched up that contract. That would be such a nice addition. Joe Flacco to Jeremy Maclin. If that works out, that's a good one. I think they've improved. And I think, you know, you got a defense that's still a really, really good defense. It's hard for me to say. I think that right now my math is on the Steelers to win that division, but the Ravens are not to be counted.
I agree.
Out.
And they, as I always talk about, they zigged when the rest of the division zagged there. They built up that defense and especially the pass defense. It's going to be good. And then, like you touch on there, sort of past the 11th hour into the next day, they go and get some real value in Jeremy Maclin. All of a sudden, the pass catching core doesn't seem as weak as it did compared to what the Bengals and Steelers are going to have in 2017. I think they're going to take a real run at things once again. That's obviously one of the sturdiest organizations around. So I can't go there with Claybon.
I don't think that they're going to be significantly worse than they were last year. I think they have improved. I just don't think that they've improved enough to compete with the other wild card contenders. I agree that the Steelers are going to win the division. But I just don't
see them. We may have
just
jinxed the Steelers.
Kenneth Dixon's knee injury at the time of the recording, we don't know how severe it is, but if he's out for the year, he's already down for 4 weeks. If he's out for the year, that's going to put a dent into my esteem that I have for the 2017 yep. edition. All right, so that's that division. We've now so now we have a little bit of you only went with the Browns here, right?
And Jets, and Browns, Bengals. What are you talking about?
Jets, Browns, Bengals.
What are you talking about?
I hope someone behind the glass is keeping order of everybody else.
I have a piece of paper and I'm writing it down right here.
I have got the Bengals, so now I'm looking good because I'm up to three now, and we all have three now. Claybon, let's move to the AFC South, shall we? And we'll start it out with the Indianapolis Colts.
Oh, oof. Thought you were going to start with the Jags.
No, Indianapolis chicky, Colts. Chicky, chicky. Anybody going to rule out the Colts? I mean, some Andrew Luck, you know, it's gray at least. We don't know exactly
yes,
what's going on.
Yes, I will. I'm ruling out the Colts.
What?
Yeah, let's
now
do
you're
it.
Getting crazy.
Yeah,
that
let's
could
do
be
it.
Another
yeah.
finger. Sorry. No! Playoffs for you. How say you? Why do you feel this way?
Because I feel better about the teams in the division than I did last year. And a lot of it goes to the
good
same
reason.
The same reasoning I went with the Ravens. I've got to have somebody out in these AFC contenders.
Remember when the Colts were supposed to dominate this division and people, I don't think, noticed at least until about last year? Like, oh, yeah, wait, that's not the team that wins the division every year. It's the Houston Texans that get it. How say you here, Ms. Freeland?
I'm really eagle-eyeing their defense. I think this is going to be the main difference. So when you look at last season and for the past, you know, five seasons, they've had a defense that's like 20 or worse in terms of ranking. They went and got some pieces. Now, there's some Malik Hooker. I saw an injury. He popped up on some injury report. That could be a big problem because we need him to pick off some balls. Then we also need to figure out how to shore up that run defense a little bit. So they went out and they addressed that in free agency. That could be a big difference maker as well. I'm not sure with the Andrew Luck, you know, starting the season, not in 100%. I think he'll be fine by the beginning of the season. I think this is just a preventative measure. Can Dante Moncrief stay healthy? We don't know what's going on with those pieces. So to me, I think that it really is going to depend on what we see in the preseason here. I'm not willing to rule them out because they have, in terms of schedule, their schedule isn't a prohibitively scary schedule. But I think that it will really depend on, are these pieces healthy? Are you getting, I mean, you went out and got a veteran in free agency. Are you getting these pieces that really are going to change and address some of the things that were wrong? Or is it going to be one of those years where you're like, oh, great, Moncrief's out for three games, and this, you know, what's going on in the injury world? That's the big
thing. I wonder if addition by subtraction, Ryan Grigson moving on, if that was a pressure cooker that the locker room didn't like Grigson.
They didn't like him lifting with him? With
something like that.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what
got
I'm getting at. I don't know about the Colts. I'm going to have to wait until we finish
If I were a GM, I would totally lift with the players. 7 pounds.
Enough with the wisecracks, Cindy Freeland. You're not going to be able to lift anything if you lose too many fingers here. Now
I'm not taking the Colts.
You might put one of those fingers up for bid here with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Finger on the table.
You're putting a finger out there. No playoffs, Duval. Again, no playoffs, Duval.
I would like to be clear. I love their defense. I love the addition of A.J. Boye. He's awesome. I'm really excited to see him play. I did see Jalen Ramsey end up on their injury report just recently, which is scary. Love Calais Campbell. Their defense is rad. I can't. But unfortunately, I just don't trust that Blake Bortles is going to be able to get in a situation where he can pass the ball. It's kind of important.
You need that.
From your quarterback.
From your quarterback.
It comes in handy.
I'll say you.
Otherwise, you're just running Tebow power. I am not.
Wildcat. What if they go the Wildcat? A Jaguar is a Wildcat.
I have no problem with teams. I have no team doing a little dipping back into 2011, too, by the way. Running, you know, having your QB run around a little bit. Put some pressure on the.
Run
the,
some veer. I'm not going to. It sounds crazy, but let's do this.
You're what? You're going to put them out?
I'm not going to put them out.
I'm with you, Claybon. I'm not putting the I know.
Rosé for sin.
Everybody loves this to throw my when I bring up Tom Coughlin and his influence. You know, he's not on the coaching staff, you understand? Yes. But why did they bring him in then? What did they put him in there for then?
To get rid of the ping pong table, and so now they're going to try extra hard. There's going to be lunch pails everywhere.
He's no stranger to working with a talented but sometimes erratic QB. I'm not saying he's.
You think Blake Bortles is the same level as Eli Manning?
No, I didn't say that. Now you're charging
That's
me with that.
That's kind of what you said.
No, I said he's familiar with working with a talented quarterback. I didn't say as talented as Eli. What I think is
breaking
the football team.
I think
breaking.
That defense is
Dave
gonna
Damashek
be,
thinks
I think that
Blake
defense
Bortles
is gonna
and
be
Eli
dynamite.
Manning are the same.
I think the defense
their
is
defense
be,
is rad. I love their defense.
Yes.
Can they play the whole game?
I like Leonard Fournette. I like their
you
pass
just like
catcher.
His beard.
No, I like Leonard Fournette.
I don't know. You're kind
I like,
of a beard guy.
I like him in general.
Your beard.
Though. I don't love Blake Bortles. I don't love the offensive line. They have addressed it, though. And to be fair to Blake Bortles, younger QB, not standing behind a good offensive line, that's a recipe for a disaster. I think
just
they.
Just a question.
I'm not going to put him on.
Did Blake Bortles get, did they tag him? Or did they give him the fifth year?
Well, listen.
Did they? I just.
We'll wait and see what he does this year. I don't know what's going
to
be.
No, I think they had to do it already.
Oh, they did.
And they did.
Ooh.
Yeah, they didn't.
Oh. All right. Well, I'm not changing now. I'm not changing it now. Next team, the Houston Texans. No one's going to go there, right?
Nope.
Okay, we can move on quickly from then. And
by the way, one thing on the Houston Texans, you know what they're sneaky good at? They're tight ends. Just saying. Huh. They've got great tight ends. Keep Griff Whalen, CJ Fedorowicz. Things. I know.
Brock Osweiler loved him some CJ Fedorowicz.
If
you know who
JJ
else is
going to
love? Everyone who's Tom Savage, and everyone's going to love both of them. They're great at blocking. They're great at catching. I'm impressed with their tight ends. Sneaky good.
All right. I think Tom Savage is fine. I think Deshaun Watson, I'll be surprised if he isn't the week one starter. I'll be positively.
Who they play week one? Remember we went over
there? Oh, right. Yeah, I'll be positively floored, though, if he's not under center by October.
October.
We did go through that.
Yeah.
You're right.
Because you got to remember, let the other guy get beat up a little bit.
Throw Tom Savage to the Savages of September, and then in October, let Deshaun Watson play hero. You're right about that. We did discuss that. Either way, I would never say they're not going to the playoffs.
Nope.
The Tennessee Titans, though, how say you, Freeland? You're very hip on this team, aren't you?
I am medium. I've been listening to a lot of people's takes on them, and I'm not anywhere near as strong as some people. I'm not going to put them on this list. No way going to go there. But I think some people like forget that, you know, they did get Logan Ryan, but their corners were really vulnerable last year. And yes, they did address, like, people, like, we kind of, Marcus Mariota is awesome. He took a huge step forward last year, and I totally anticipate that stays the trend this year. And he's got a great running backs. Great. Now they've addressed some of the pass catching concerns. Great. But there's also defense, right? So they did get Logan Ryan, but do you know, and I love Adoree Jackson. I think he was one of the best players in the draft. I love watching him play, but does that necessarily mean?
He feels like a weird fit, too, for Dick LeBeau, who generally requires physical corners. So Adoree Jackson is not that.
Yeah, I mean, but so to me, it's like I'm taking a bit of a wait and see approach with their corners. Like, that was a point of huge vulnerability for them. So I'm not sure if it's something they've shored up completely.
Claybon?
No, I'm not putting the Titans on a no list.
They're not on no, but they're not on yes.
It's between the Colts and Titans for me, and I'm sorry. And while I'm not overwhelmed by the greatness of Chuck Pagano, Mike Mularkey, this is the head coach. And look at his career record. I mean, it's not coincidence at this point. I'm sorry, Titans. Bad news. No playoffs for you. Titans. How about that? That's a bold one from Damashek.
That is a bold one from Damashek.
Oh. Next up, let's get through the AFC West here. No one's going to say the Raiders, right?
Nope.
No one's going to. Is anybody going to say the Chargers? Were you going to say the Raiders, Claybon?
Dave, I'm going out on a limb today, baby.
No way! Whoa. You're going to lose a finger!
Maybe. I might lose a finger. I might lose some
Who's
friends.
Who's definitely not, right?
You're saying the Raiders are definitely not going to make the postseason.
Yes.
Oh!
Whoa! No playoffs for you! See you in Vegas, right?
It was just so close. It was so close.
How can you?
Every
how can you justify?
Comes down the wire.
Okay.
And I'm... Believe me, there's so much reason to feel great about the Oakland Raiders, but I just the Chiefs and the Broncos are going to have better bounce back seasons. I believe that.
Here's one little secret thing, is that Marshawn Lynch, the players love Marshawn Lynch in the locker room. The coaching staff doesn't necessarily, they love his contributions, but he is disruptive, or he certainly was in Seattle if you talk to certain people over there. I want, you know, is a foregone go. He walks in there and, oh, yeah, same thing as what happened in Seattle. They'll manage that. It does require a delicate hand from Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll handled the personalities pretty well there in Seattle. Do we know for fact?
Did he? Because, like, didn't everyone say they hated their quarterback? I mean, come on. Is that handling it?
I don't know. Well, at least they make the playoffs every year. So that suggests to me he's handling it well enough.
Got it. That
they're getting into the mix. I don't know that the Raiders definitely are that, but I think that's crazy by Claybon. I would not declare.
I think it's crazy because of their defense. I mean, you've got – again, I think in the offseason we all, like, think about – maybe it's fantasy, maybe it's whatever. Like, we all think about offense a lot, but, like, I mean, they got some pretty great defensive pieces. I mean, they got that one guy, I heard of him, Khalil Mack. You know, he's pretty awesome. Then they also have, I mean, when you look at their O-line too, Kelechi Osemele, I always butcher his name, but I'm not, and I'm thinking.
You nailed it that time.
Yeah, I know, but it's one of those things I have to practice. So I think that we have to remember, like, I think to me that is a huge, those two pieces, like, and their safeties are getting better. They've got a lot of, like, things going in their right direction. So I'd be unwilling to put them on this.
All right. Chargers. Unless you believe the injury bug is a legit plague for them. I have them taking a real run at the Raiders and maybe even winning the division. Cindy Freeland, how say you?
Do you promise not to tell money what I say?
Yeah.
They're on my list.
Whoa! No playoffs for you. Enjoy January, money. You can book some vacation time, apparently, according to Cindy Freeland. You're not going to be calling any playoff games.
I mean, I want money to call a playoff game. That's just really like in my personal bias.
Why? So, this team?
I love Matt Money Smith.
This team to me is loaded. Loaded. Okay, the offensive line is its question mark. And otherwise, what's not to love about them?
That's a significant question mark.
I know. Fair, fair.
Okay, so let's talk about.
Well, every team has a question mark.
I do think their injury concerns are very real.
Because why? I mean, and I asked that to Melvin Gordon, and I talked to Chargers about that. And
do
it
you think Melvin Gordon's going to be like, you know what? We do have some real injuries.
No, that doesn't mean he resolved any issues I have, but it feels like if it's a team-wide thing, it just feels fluky unless the trainers are just inept. I mean, what do they draft badly? Do they draft brittle human beings? That doesn't seem like a possibility. Is their training staff not good? Do they not know how to remedy injuries as well as the other 31 teams? It's weird.
So there's a really big difference between, like, if you have recurring injuries, like, that's not the training. Like, I would put none of this on the training staff. Like, I don't.
They just have a bunch of injury prone guys.
No, I'd
be injury prone. Like, you tear an ACL or break a leg. I mean, those things.
I mean, these
happen.
Are like, it's hard to get back to where you were after like several times. I mean, how many times your knee be tore up before you see diminished speed or
so
your endurance?
You're saying that about Keenan Allen specifically.
Keenan Allen's had a bunch of injuries.
I hear you.
And that's a big loss.
They're deep in the pass catching department, though.
Yeah. I'm also and this guy will end up in Canton but Antonio Gates is aging.
I know, but Hunter Henry was a star in his rookie season already, so I don't feel like that's an issue.
So if you're good in your first season, you're guaranteed to be good in your second season.
I don't know all this cynicism out of Cindy Freeland this morning.
It's not cynicism. It's look at their some of the pieces on their defense. Like it's. They've made a big improvement, but you have to remember, like, you made some argument about, like, an aging quarterback. You said at some point Tom Brady will fall off a cliff, right? I mean, Philip Rivers is getting in an older age, and I did, like, a pretty big study on aging quarterbacks, and he's actually shown more signs of aging than Tom Brady. And that's he also throws the ball more often. So my question mark here is in keeping all of the pieces healthy and working together kind of the way that it's supposed to work. I think they could be great, but I think everyone's being like, oh, the Broncos don't have a good offense, or their quarterback has so much of a question mark. So, but, you know, Philip Rivers plays against the Broncos defense. And then the same thing with the Chiefs. People are like, whoa, the Chiefs are like, you know, they're always really good, but never like really, really good. And then like the Chargers, you're right. The Chargers could beat them, but I also think that they could not, you know, like I think that if you're looking at the Chiefs and the Broncos and the Raiders, like I just don't know who's out. Right.
Well, I'll tell you, it comes down to me to the Chiefs and Broncos as one of these two AFC West teams I'm going to declare out of the playoff mix. And out of respect for Andy Reid, who from Philadelphia to KC almost always gets his team to the postseason, if you believe in chemistry or lack thereof and complaining and nonsense off the field, the Chiefs have certainly had that this offseason. I think, and by the way, I wouldn't be surprised if you see Pat Mahomes this year. I wouldn't be surprised if you see him.
Wow.
That said, I'm going to say the Broncos are not going to the playoffs. In fact, I'm going to say they definitely are not going to go.
Wow.
No playoffs for you. Sorry, Broncos. I don't love they'll be fine with their coaching change and everything else. Are they for sure? Do we know that?
The Broncos?
Do we know
who's back today, right?
Who?
I believe.
The Cubs is in the building.
Yeah.
I know. So what?
The Cubs.
Scout. And also, so yeah, that's weird. Is that helpful or is that now lording over the shoulder?
Wait a minute. You said it was good for the Jags to have Tom Coughlin there.
That's right.
But somehow Elway, no influence there. Got it. Consistent.
Wait a second.
Did you say Tom Coughlin was a good influence on them?
Yes, I think Elway's a good influence on them, but I think DeMarcus. Like,
so you're saying that Doug Marrone can
Shane
handle
Ray
the
has
specter to, of Tom Coughlin.
Shane Ray's got to step up. I don't know that the offensive line's going to be that much better from last year. I don't know that Trevor Siemian's going to be the answer week in and week out because he had flashes. That's Joe Flacco had flashes. Jay Cutler had flashes. You know, there are guys bemusing.
Joe Flacco has a Super Bowl ring.
I know, because he got red hot for a 5-week stretch.
It was year great. Two of Trev.
Let's not act like Joe Flacco is a week in and week out dependable quarterback.
Would you rather have Joe Flacco or would you rather have anyone on?
I wouldn't rather have Trevor Siemian to answer that question. So that's why I'm not putting him in.
It's fully asleep on Trev.
I'm asleep on him. Oh, I didn't know that.
They can figure out a way.
Sorry, I didn't join the cult of the Trevor Siemian yet. I'll get in on it. I'm sorry. I'm an awful skeptic when it comes to undrafted guys.
Like a quarterback to you?
He has a nice strong arm. But also Paxton Lynch is there. The two young guys.
Paxton Lynch? I think he's under the microscope for sure.
I liked how Siemian looked in some games. I thought he was fine in some games. Is that enough to get past the Chargers and the Raiders and the Chiefs? For me, no, it's not. That's why I would say if they're in fourth place and they're not going to the playoffs, that's why I say they're not in. Now, you guys are saying the Broncos, you're not going to put them on your
list.
No.
The Chiefs?
No.
Nope.
You're not going to say the Chiefs either?
No.
No.
Wait a second. Oh, you said Chargers, Cindy.
I said Chargers.
And I had the Raiders.
Oh, and you had the Raiders. Okay, so thus ends. I will put down the Broncos. Those are my five.
Okay, so let's recap your five.
That went bolder than I thought it
would. Your five are.
I didn't think I'd have to say the Broncos or Titans, but I did. So I go Broncos, Titans. I didn't even feel the Bengals, but you have to get the five somehow.
Right, you have to get the five.
Bengals, Browns, Jets. Sorry. No playoffs for you, Cindy.
Jets, Browns, Bengals, Jacksonville, and Chargers.
No playoffs for you, says Cindy Freeland. Claybon?
The Ravens, the Colts, the Raiders, the Jets, and the Bengals.
No the Browns, playoffs for you.
Yeah, Browns.
Browns, not
Claybon.
Bengals. Yeah.
That's it. There you have it. The AFC edition. We got to do this again. And now another game. We don't just tackle the game of football and the game of life, but we tackle the game of life in an alternate universe. It's called Game of Thrones, Westeros, the Seven Kingdoms. It's Claybon. It's Cindy Freeland and Ike Taylor. It's the producer Sully Bartlett and Black Tie have a team together. Damashek and Chris Harris Jr. have a team. Chris Long had a weird week. I don't want to – spoiler alert's coming here. Had a weird one because he had Theon Greyjoy, a.k.a. Reek, who killed a few guys but then jumped off the boat. So my esteem for him as a man at least is, you know, at the bottom of the sea.
Don't know how much esteem you have for Reek.
I thought – no, I wanted to draft
Reek. Beginning?
I wanted Theon Greyjoy. I thought he was going to redeem himself. I thought that's what was going forward. He's going to be a big hero.
Requires a lot of redemption.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, no wiener for him. So anyhow, that's a side note. That doesn't affect anything. Oh, but speaking of Grey and all that, you know, that kind of stuff, Grey Worm making his hay. He wasn't going to be kept down.
No.
Yeah? No problem.
Getting the points. That's why I handcuffed them together.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, yeah, Claybon. Those were your points. You had Missandra or whatever her name is.
Yep.
Miss Andy. And Grey Worm, and they made their time on each other with no clothes on.
They did.
And that you got double sex points.
I did.
Whoa.
You and Will Blackman got those. All right. Now, though, we turn it over to the pros. This is the start of something new here. We're going to try it out and see how it goes this week, and we'll go from there. Eddie Spaghetti, Sully, and Sideline Reporter Savvy with – no Savvy. I'm sorry. I'm being told. I thought Savvy was in on it. No, she's not going to do this one? Okay. Good luck to you, Eddie Spaghetti and Sully, as they debut their new little mini sub-podcast. I don't know what it's going to even be called here. The Game of Thrones show within the DDFP. Take it away, Sully and Spaghetti. Game of Thrones game. We are playing Game of Thrones.
All right, thanks, Sheck. Eddie Spaghetti, Sully here. Two members of the DDFP Game of Thrones League.
Game of Thrones game.
To quickly recap our standings, in first place, overtaking me because of a stat correction, is Kay Adams and Kyle Brandt. They're in first, 190 points. I am in second. With Melvin Gordon at 180 points and Houndsome Hank in third place with 105, the only three teams in the triple-digit marks. Chris Long, fourth place, 90 points, tied with looks like Colleen Wolfe and Gons R.R. Martin. And then we have Patrick Claibon, 70 points, sixth place. Ike and Cindy, 50 points, seventh place. You, the producer team, the Unsullied,
ooh, yeah,
eighth place, 45. And then you have rounding out this league, Damashek, ninth place with 10 points, and Reese Jones also with 10 points there. So rough go for you guys.
Rough go. The team of the Unsullied, which is made up of Ryan Bartlett, me, and TD, and John Rydell as well, the Maester Rydell. We need to step it up, and I'm not too worried. It's early in the season, and Tyrion has yet to even score a point yet, and he's going to come along.
Right, so the big meeting.
Right, the meeting.
Tyrion and Dragonstone with Daenerys, with
Varys.
Varys, the Tyrells. You have the Sands there. It's a lot going on. What that was a big moment. What was your biggest takeaway from episode?
I think Varys kind of saving his own life there for a second. Daenerys was kind of getting off the rails and going after him, and he put his foot down. I think he really established himself on that court.
That was a big moment for me. I would go with Jon deciding to leave the North, leaving Winterfell, going to go find Dany,
right,
in Dragonstone. It's a big deal because he put one Sansa in charge, two, now he's leaving. But by the way, Bran's possibly coming, and then Arya's possibly coming from the Riverlands up north. So the Stark family will like never be together at the same
time.
They're
all colliding together, and the fact that Bran is not going to get there in time, and he's not going to, so Snow is not going to know that he's related to Dany when he meets
right.
him. That's a big moment.
His lineage will still, that question mark is still going to continue going forward. Mm-hmm. I do think this bodes really poorly for Littlefinger, because now with Jon going to where Tyrion is, Tyrion knows that Littlefinger was lying to Jon in the crypts, that mm-hmm. he did cross Ned.
Yep.
So Jon will find this out. It probably will cost Littlefinger
both. Both Starks there. Both King and the Norse and Ned and Jon have slammed Littlefinger up against the wall now. So that's
right.
Come full circle.
Yeah, so I think Tyrion, if he tells him this knowledge, like, hey, by the way, you know, he crossed your pops, or potentially your pops, Jon's going to obviously come back being angry. But Arya now going there, with Littlefinger trying to drive a wedge between Sansa and Jon, I feel like there's a moment where you could have either Sansa, end him, or it could be Arya, which would be great for my team, getting some more kill points from her.
Yeah, I think you're right. Sansa's got the promotion, and I think she's not done yet racking up the fantasy points. I think she could have a big play with Littlefinger in the future.
Speaking of Arya, will we see Nymeria again?
Yes. She gave a little tip of the cap. I saw this in a BuzzFeed video where she said, that's not you. She said it with a smile, and people think that's a reference to earlier when Ned in season one said, hey, you can settle down. You can marry a lord and just be a queen. And she says, that's not me. Mm-hmm. So she kind of is tipping a cap to her direwolf doing the same thing.
Yeah. I'm not sure if it's a CGI budget concern with HBO, but
right.
I'd love to see Nymeria left. One of the two remaining wolves. I feel like Ghost is locked up in a room. We don't see enough of Ghost with Jon. I wish we would see every scene with Jon. I just feel like Ghost should be
right there with him
the entire time.
Right.
And the last scene of the show, arguably one of the most crazy, gruesome battle scene.
Oh, yeah.
Euron on his ship called the Silence, literally coming out of the sky and taking care of...
evidently, it's pretty silent. Cause
it is very silent.
Yeah, they didn't see it
so
until the last second.
Theon's on the boat with his sister Yara, and then you have Valyria and her daughters,
mm-hmm.
and Euron takes Yara and Tyeen Sand away. Euron got Kyle and Kay 115 points for that
right.
episode. He was a beast. That was in a crazy epic battle scene, and he's going to go back to Cersei now with the person who killed her daughter, Marcella.
And then Reek. Mm-hmm. He's Reek now.
He jumps off the boat.
He's officially Reek.
What would you do? Would you jump off? If he charged well,
your sister saved you, so you got to try to return the favor.
I guess, but I think it's a smart play in the long run because he jumps off, he saves his life, and letting Yara live a little bit longer.
I hope so.
Anyway, great episode 2. Looking forward to episode 3. There's your quick Game of Thrones recap. We'll get to more to this next Tuesday show when we recap the third episode. So see you then.
Dave. Dee-da-da-da-da-da-don't-don't. Dave.
And there you have it, a fine show from Sully. Full disclosure, they haven't recorded it yet, so I have no idea if it's good or not, but we appreciate you listening all the way through.
I thought that was a cut. I literally thought we were like doing a little.
No. That was it. Right.
I was going to pretend.
Yeah.
Me too.
they spoke. They shared their
insights. That was
insights.
Awesome. That was
like, oh, man,
guys.
Sully, you crushed that.
Yes.
If
love
you're listening,
that part about
if you're
thing.
Listening to Cindy Claiborne and me right now, you must not have hated it, right? If you
totally.
Made it all the way through the 5 minutes or whatever they went there. All right. So more Hooey and Applesauce on the way for you later in the week. Maybe we can even resolve the rest of this, the NFC, Davey Downer. Also, what else do I wanted? Did I want to mention? I had something else. Oh, LaDainian Tomlinson giving his favorite memories from the NFL.
Aww.
In front of him getting his gold jacket. Also, Eternal Red Zone, the 2017 Hall of Fame class edition, airing on August 4th, right, MVP? 10 p.m. Eastern meantime. Thanks to everybody who checked out the other one. Like I say, I think 1.5 million or something like that took it in
great
digitally.
Great idea. Yeah. By the way, great idea. I'm going to tell Goodell.
At least 3 million people.
I'm going to tell Goodell.
No, it was like great 1.5 million digitally because you can look at that. I don't know what it did on the network. But either way, watch it on the network and digitally. Hey, we'll talk to you later on. Meantime, been a slice of heaven. That's my line.